WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Yes, thank you for keeping it tuned here to 95.9 WATD, as you are trying to trek home in this slippery, soon-to-be snowstorm, second of two that we've had in the past couple of evenings. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, and we will keep you focused on the road and also keep you focused on some of the things that are going on in and around the South Shore. We start off this evening's program speaking with some of the folks who are running for the soon-to-be-vacant Plymouth-Barnstable State Senate seat, as we've had a chance to have a few of the folks who are running or have announced that they are going to be campaigning for the seat tonight. We speak with Susan Moran. She will be joining us at 6:20, right after traffic, and we'll find out why she feels as though she is the candidate to beat, not only for the Democratic nomination, but also the special general election for that seat. 6:40, we speak with State Representative Allison Sullivan. Had a chance to bump into Allison during Turkey Day festivities as she was bouncing around from one part of the district to the other. Got a chance to chat up about that and some of the other things that she is busy doing, get an idea as to how she's handled the holidays and getting ready for the holidays. So we'll talk with her about that. And then hour number two, I finally call this the hour of Murray. First half of the program, we will speak with Tammy Murray. She is the Director of Community Services and Elder Services for the town of Hanover. She'll be joined by Marilyn Greenstein. Marilyn, also who we've had on the program. She's chatted with us. She's at the Hanover COA. We'll talk about a bunch of a number of things, including the upcoming Winterfest event, as well as the latest changes at the COA, and also might even get into another neighboring community or nearby community, as Tammy is a selectman in Kingston. So we'll chat with her about some of the latest happenings in that community. And the second part of that hour, we have Murray Kidd. Murray is the artistic director for the Jubilate Chorale. He was recently selected by a committee. We'll have Jay Enos, who is president of the board of directors for the Jubilate Chorale, as well as Paul Watson. We'll talk about not only picking Murray, but Jubilate Chorale's upcoming concert performance this coming Sunday. So stay tuned for that. And that performance is taking place in Brockton. We'll give you a little bit of a sample as well as to what you would be in for. We've had I've had Paul on and Jay previously. Murray is actually coming in as he is replacing Dr. Maxine Eslin, who after many, many years of leading the chorale decided to, well, enough time with the wand, she decided to step aside. So I think we had the interim on last year, the person until they were able to complete the search. And like I said, we're going to have Murray Kidd in to chat about taking over And Murray has quite the resume. We'll discuss that coming up in just a few moments.
'Twas 3 a.m. Christmas morning. Not a creature was moving, except for my brother Dave Jr., who had already been downstairs. When my brother woke me up out of bed, he said, "Come downstairs, Santa was there." Reluctantly, I followed to see what was there. As we reached the last step, we heard from up there, "Dad!
Jeffrey! David! Get back in bed now!"
Oops, looks like we just made the naughty list. Merry Christmas and happy holiday from us at Brennan's Smoke Shop.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right. Thank you for waiting through our traffic report. Time for our very first segment. Joining us right now is, I believe she is currently a selectman in the town of Falmouth. And she's here to chat a little bit about running for the state Senate seat that is going to be vacant, courtesy of Vinnie DiMacedo, taking a job at Bridgewater State University. Sue, welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you, Kevin. You're absolutely right. I'm a sitting Falmouth selectman. I'm the head of Barnstable County Economic Development, and I'm running for the Plymouth-Barnstable Senate seat.
What makes you the quintessential candidate that you feel that you're going to be able to take the Democratic nomination into the general election and ultimately win back the seat that was once Senate President Terry Murray's?
Well, in a word, you know, I've been called a Terry Murray Democrat because I understand it's about customer service. When folks have come to me with a concern or an issue, for example, Route 28 expansion, I was the chair of the Board of Selectmen who decided to bring that to the citizens and to have the town public utilities coordinate with the residents so that we got a better product. So I know that now all of the initiatives that citizens need, want, and are entitled to are going to be found at the State House. So that's where I'm going.
It's interesting that this is quite a sizable district. Are you ready to get out there and work your way around it?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm prepared to have an office right in Plymouth, where Senator DiMacedo has had an office. I think it's really important to be right near the constituents so that they can stop in and let the senator know what's going on in the community. I don't think there's any better way to serve than to speak with people. And I'm on a listening tour right now, and I encourage people to contact me with any thoughts they may have or any questions.
You know, folks don't realize the task it is to be a select person. Talk about some of the committees that you serve on, how you feel that will best serve you if you are elected, especially your constituents of the Plymouth-Barnstable District.
Sure. So I've been one of the original members of the Bridge Fix, and you see that's been very successful with the Chambers of Commerce in getting action from Department of Transportation and the Army Corps of Engineers. So that project is moving forward. With respect to Barnstable County, I'm the vice chair of the legislature. I don't think that anyone else running has legislative experience. And just today, I was on the phone with Senator Sear about the questions that folks have asked in terms of the plan to renumber exits and the potential for looking for an exemption from that. So I'm working closely with legislators, as I have for the past several years, on water quality issues, on erosion, beach sustainability, and just really things that affect our daily lives.
So I guess I would ask you, what would be some of the key issues that you would like to tackle that you feel are going to be hallmark issues come this special election?
So, I talked about transportation with the bridge fixes and having highways that really serve our purposes and safe bridges and various modes of transportation, including bikeways. Well, those will serve our job needs. I mean, not only is that job creation, But that's how people, you know, get where they're going in a way that still allows them a lifestyle at home. You know, with respect to housing, we need housing for everyone. We need different kinds of housing, housing that, that people want to have now, whether they're seniors or young people. And we want to look at, you know, protecting the, you know, our environment going forward for our children. Right now, the green and blue economies are booming, and those are also job creators. So I'm working on all of those right now.
So I think the thing I would ask you, you mentioned transportation. What are your thoughts in regards to issues that the Baker-Polito administration has tried to tackle, and that's the MBTA, public transportation? What are your thoughts on that, and what do you think of some of the things that need to be done when in regards to the MBTA that, you know, is it where it needs to be, or would you like to see more done?
Well, Kevin, you bring up a good point. I think the Baker-Polito administration is aware. They splashed on with an idea to ask the communities what they needed, which I think was a great move. And at this point, they're looking at ways to afford all of the infrastructure needs that have been languishing. I mean, there's no question we need to work quickly, but it's going to be very expensive. And so it's a matter of looking at moving forward on those initiatives without hurting the middle class taxpayers, as you know, where a lot of our programs are already sitting on their back.
Where do you stand in regards to, you know, one of the other big issues that this current administration has been working on? I know that Deval Patrick, his administration also, actually on the tail end of his administration, working on the opioid epidemic. What do you feel that the opioid epidemic is at this particular time, and what needs to be done to keep it moving it forward to where we're there's enough treatment and there's enough understanding about this epidemic?
Well, you know, it's crushing not only our families and our relatives, but also our economy. There have to be extended stays looked at in the way they intersect with current insurance availability. And we have to look at the opposite end, which is our young people and our students in where they're growing. I know that, you know, the governor's vaping concerns have really brought the issue to the forefront, and that's one of the ways we have to educate our young people, just the way we did with smoking years back, and come down hard. It's a health issue, opioids and other addictions, and it's something that if we can get a handle on it, will benefit everyone.
Again, we're speaking with Susan Moran. She is a candidate for the Plymouth Barnstable state senate district. She's also a selectman in Falmouth. One of the things you had mentioned early on was water quality. I know here in the South Shore, one of the things that's been an ongoing conversation, and that is the two Montponts, east-west Montponts upon Silver Lake, issues with how it's used by a municipality like the city of Brockton. How important is water in your eyes, especially when it comes to sustainability and economic development?
So, you know, we are on the forefront of multi-dimensional ways to solve our water problem, whether it's permeable barriers or looking at various nitrate treatment issues. The key is there has to be partnering with the state so that there are bonding advantages so that folks don't have too much of a tax impact all at once. So all of these, the information that's experimental needs to be available and shared so that we know that we get the biggest bang for the buck for the taxpayers on a problem that is just ongoing on both sides of the canal.
So if we were to take things down and strip it away and get the personal side of Susan Moran, what are some of the things you like to do in your free time when you're not serving your constituents in Falmouth or running for office? What are some of the things you like to do in your spare time?
Oh, well, I have two granddaughters and just really appreciate their their activities when I can visit them. They were at my campaign kickoff, which I really appreciate. I've been doing a lot of community, kind of volunteering. I was on the board of the local library, and just enjoying all the holiday events at this point. So I'm a people person. I like to get out and just really, listen to folks and just see what's going on and enjoy the holidays.
What are you looking forward to in regards to this race? Because it looks like it's going to be there's going to be a number of Democrats that are seeking this seat. I think there's been one Republican so far that has announced. Are you looking forward to getting in there and having discussions with the other candidates and hopefully being someone who is able to get those votes to be the nomination, the nominee?
I think that's the absolute key. The opportunity to speak with voters is paramount, because I believe that my experience is really going to be the sort of carry the vote for folks. They need someone in the state house who has already tackled these issues, who hits the ground running, who already knows how to fight for the programs that are needed in the Plymouth Barnstable district. So I'm really looking forward to debates and just really listening to folks' questions and hopefully providing some answers and programs that I would like to put forward if I'm elected.
If you had you get the opportunity, do you already envision what some of the legislation you'd like to put together? Again, knowing that you're only going to be getting half of a session, you're not getting the whole session. Do you already kind of have an idea that you can hit the ground running and be able to file stuff come the new year?
Absolutely. I've been talking with legislators all along. I'm looking at, I think, what is a key opportunity in terms of the blue and green economies and things that will really create more jobs and grow our economy, which I think will also stimulate housing opportunities. So I'm looking for things that intersect and we'll bring forward things that people need as quickly and as economically as possible.
Are you sitting here saying to yourself, and I'm sure other candidates are, like, going, my goodness, I can't believe, like, this, I'm starting up a campaign in the middle of the holiday season. How are you going to be able to get out there and campaign and also be able to get gifts for your granddaughters and your family?
Well, I already am a working lawyer, a grandmother, and I do a lot of economic development and town service, and I find they all intersect with each other. And, if we all work hard together, we can make great things happen. And the holidays in particular are just a great feeling for that attitude. So I hope to carry that forth through the rest of the campaign.
Have you had a chance to have any conversations with any of the other members of the South Shore delegation? Are you close to any state reps or state senators that you can have conversations with for guidance?
Well, Senator DiMacedo and I have been friends for quite a while, and he was at the veterans breakfast that I recently spoke at, along with Rep. Dave Vieira and the Congressman Keating and all the delegates and certainly all the selectmen and other officials really, have great ideas. We throw things back and forth. We inform each other. And I've always appreciated that about public service. So we'll continue to do that.
Susan, I want to thank you for joining us and being a guest here on Monday Night Talk. Look forward to seeing how things shake out and how the vote goes for at least the Democratic nomination. Have you been given any indication as to when there might be the two elections?
Well, I was just talking with Senator Scheer, and I think that it'll be coming out soon, but it's not definite yet.
Okay. If folks want to find out more about you or your campaign, how can they do that?
It take a look at votemoran.com. And I'll also be happy to answer any emails that folks send if they have an inquiry. And I really appreciate the opportunity.
And I appreciate the opportunity of you coming on. I know that we had chatted for half a moment about maybe possibly having you come in studio, but because of the inclement weather, we thought it was best to just to do something over the phone. So I appreciate you taking the time to do so. Yeah, well, for some reason,
if
it looks like...
If you'd like to make a call, yeah, and try again.
I don't know what happened there, Ben. Again, no we were just speaking with Susan Moran. Hopefully Susan can call back and we can finish up our conversation. It was good chatting with her, just kind of get an opportunity to hear from another individual who is running for office. Again, so we've had John Mahoney, we had Becky Coletta on, and last week we had Jay McMahon, and this makes Susan Moran. And again, thank you, Susan, for, if you are listening, thank you very much for tuning in. Yes, very much. Round of applause. It's going to be interesting, especially when, no, I don't know if there's going to be any more Republicans that are going to get in on this race, or if Jay is going to be it. But I look forward to seeing the Democrats having a conversation and answering questions as to why they want to finish out the remainder of Senator DiMacito's term. Ben, what do you think? You're a political guy, aren't you?
Oh, you know me. I'm all about the political stuff, Kevin. All about it.
I just basically just like threw him right under the bus.
I mean, I'm trying to watch for the return call, but you know, it's important, you know. And Kevin, I will actually say to this point, since my time working with you here on Monday Night Talk, I've actually learned quite a bit about local politics, what's going on, and like what it actually takes to make this all happen. It's quite an experience to those who, like myself, maybe not exactly rounded in all the edges of politics quite yet, but very interesting nonetheless. So thank you for letting me be a part of it. I have learned a lot from you.
Well, it's interesting knowing that this race is kicking off right during the holidays. Folks are getting in on it. They see an opportunity to run. We've had a chance to speak with many of them. You've heard them, whether you've heard them on this program or you've heard them on other avenues on 95.9 WATD. It's great that this is happening here. Again, it's sad to see Senator DiMacito, a good guy, see him leave, but he has he's got a great opportunity with Bridgewater State University and that new position, and perfect guy, you know, a community guy,
keep doing good things.
But he was one of those, you know, Vinny DiMacito was one of those guys who you'd see him and he was always, he just knew how to embrace, you know, say hello and say, you know, check up on you. And, you know, and let's not forget also his predecessor, and that is Senate President Therese Murray. We had a chance just a couple of weeks ago when we did the Pathfinders of women, Plymouth women, that we had a chance to do that live remote from the Pilgrim Hall Museum. That was phenomenal.
That was a great show.
Still want to thank Peter Brown and Ms. Curtin and all the folks who... A long list of folks who were guests on that program. But having a chance to sit and chat with Terry Murray and get her take on it. And again, somebody else who was a woman and someone who also, you know, fought for her district and also, you know, as the Senate president. Well, what we're going to do now is we will, let's step aside just for a couple of moments. And when we come back, a little later in the show than normal, but we're going to do our State House report to check in with State Representative, 7th Plymouth District, serving the 7th Plymouth District, Allison Sullivan. In just a moment, you are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Finished your holiday shopping yet, Bob?
You mean holidays shopping? There's so much going on this time of year, I feel like I'm never gonna finish. I've still gotta find Christmas gifts for my wife, Hanukkah toys for my cousins, even winter solstice candles for my sister.
Well, have you tried Colony Place in Plymouth? I call it the Northeast Pole, because it's the one place for everything holiday and beyond, with over 50 stores from TJ Maxx and DSW to the paper store in Ulta for all your shopping needs. And if you forget your coupons, no problem. Just show the preferred shopper card to save up to 25% at over 30 retailers every time you visit. Plus, you can also check deals and discoveries for great weekly gift ideas on Facebook, Instagram, and at colonyplace.com.
But what about a restaurant for New Year's brunch?
Relax. Colony Place has great restaurants too, like Alden Park, Panera Bread, and our newest, The Euro Company. Easy in, easy out, just off Route 3 in Plymouth.
Wow. Sounds like Colony Place in Plymouth really is the one place for everything holiday, or even holidays.
At Margaret's Sewing, Upholstery, and Furniture in Brockton, they will help you with all your sewing projects, upholstery repair, and window decor. They work on both commercial and residential projects. They've been creating for over 32 years many custom upholstery and curtains. Call 508-345-4165 or visit Margaret's Sewing, Upholstery, and Furniture.com and see how they can help you.
I'm Mary Ellen from Your CBD Store in Hanover. With my background in health education here in the South Shore, I know all about managing chronic pain, the results I found from people in my life, and from millions of other people across the country using CBD oil, has led me to open Your CBD Store on Route 53 in Hanover. However, there's lots of misinformation about CBD. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp. Your CBD Store of Hanover only sells products made from industrialized certified hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. There's absolutely no marijuana in products sold by Your CBD Store of Hanover. In fact, most of our products contain no THC. CBD has many targeted uses. Visit our boutique style store. We would love to explain how we can make it work for you. Your CBD Store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD Store of Hanover. Help without the high.
What is AA? Alcoholics Anonymous is an international fellowship of men and women who've had a drinking problem.
It is non-professional and self-supporting.
AA is multiracial, apolitical, and available almost everywhere.
There are no age or education requirements. Membership is open to anyone who wants to do something about their drinking problem.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
Zen Den Health Talks with Mary Kim Carity and Michael Murphy. Tune in to get out of pain, increase athletic performance, and live your best life. Mary and Michael are the co-owners of Zen Den in Norwell, where lives are changed with ancient therapies and functional medicine. Zen Den Health Talks will guide you to live a pain-free life tomorrow night at 7 on 95.9 WATD. Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
An important part of Monday Night Talk is usually when we have an opportunity to speak with some of our local elected leaders, whether they are selectmen, mayors, city councilors, state representatives, state senators, you name it. It's fantastic to be able to have them on here on a regular basis to talk with them about some of the things that they are doing in their communities, in their districts. We have joining us somebody who has been a regular voice here on the program, as is many of the South Shore legislators. We have State Rep Allison Sullivan joining us. Representative, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did, Kevin. I did. I hope you did as well.
I did. It was a working Thanksgiving, but that's okay. It's, you know, it comes with the territory.
It does, doesn't it?
it totally does. And you and I actually crossed paths. I saw you out at the 109th edition of the Abington Green Wave versus the Whitman Hanson Panthers. And
yeah.
I think there was actually one point where you had to scoot off to the other part of your district.
Yes, I actually I stayed in Abington for as long as I could before scooting off to go with East Bridgewater. Of course, all the football games are at the same exact time, so, and I still had to give myself time to get home to be able to help my mom prepare for our Thanksgiving dinner. So a little bit of baking I had to finish up and a little bit of cooking. So I stayed as long as I could at both games.
What is Thanksgiving like in the Sullivan household. What, talk to me about having the family coming together. What is that like for you?
You know, it's the best time, because Thanksgiving is a little bit smaller group of family, and I love my big, big family. Don't get me wrong. I really do. We have Christmas Eve at my mom's house as well, and that's always a great experience and a great tradition that my father kept on from my grandmother, his mother. But Thanksgiving has always been at my mom's house, and it's been, you know, past years when we were younger, we used to go up to ski in New Hampshire, and we'd have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But you know, fast forward to us being a little bit older and having job responsibilities, it would be, you know, some of us at the table where others are running out to work. We worked in the service industry. But now this year was actually really, really nice, because we're all able to sit down as a family. My siblings, my sister's kids, her husband, my mom and dad, my grandfather, my aunt and uncle, their kids. And, you know, it was great, because I think it was the first time in a long time that we were able to, you know, as a family, as a whole, without someone scooting out, was able to really enjoy Thanksgiving dinner.
When you look back at this year, whether it's as a person, as a legislator, as a college graduate, what has this year been like in regards to, you know, past years?
You know, I'm really grateful for this year. This year has been a tremendous year for myself and my family, and not just myself, but my family. You know, being a law school graduated college a little while ago, but law school graduate, that was something that was a goal of mine since I was in third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. You know, in my sixth grade yearbook, I said I was going to be a lawyer. So graduating law school was a very, very sweet moment for me. Getting sworn into office in the beginning of the year, sitting in my father's seat, holding the same district seat that he held so many years ago, was a moment that I can't even describe. You know, that bond that my father and I share, it's amazing. And having my whole family there to support me in that. And then just, you know, being a state rep and enjoying every part of it, you know, helping people, helping the community, advocate for the community. It's been something that I can't even put into words how grateful I am to be able to have that position and that ability to advocate for so many people. This year has also been a very big year of triumph for me. I actually have been very outspoken on domestic violence and sexual violence, being a survivor of severe domestic violence myself. Being able to speak very freely and open is something that I never thought I'd be able to do. I've also been able to help others, and that's something that is indescribable. Being able to speak in front of a crowd of law enforcement officers and tell them how powerful their impact can be if they look at every call of domestic violence as their sister, their mother, their daughter, as a human being who they're responding to, and realizing the control that an abuser can have over one human being. And being patient. It was actually, and I don't even know if you know, Kevin, but I actually spoke in front of the Berkshire County. I was invited by the district attorney's office to speak at one of their trainings. And that was something that I never thought I'd be able to do. And I'm starting to do it. And it's something that I'm so grateful for.
So the thing I would ask you, and that's fantastic that, you know, someone recognized your voice and what you represent, especially when it comes to domestic violence, and knowing that your maiden speech was in that vein. Talk to me about being able to work with your local representation here, the South Shore delegation, whether it's Kathy Linatra, whether it's Matt Muratori. What's that been like?
You know, they're great. Matt's actually, we share an office. He's in room 39. Shout out to room 39. He's awesome, and he's been somebody who's been a mentor to me. Given my maiden speech and how, emotional I was and how anxiety-driven I was, because I was talking about two very personal stories to me and very hard stories to talk about, both with the opioid crisis and domestic violence. And so Matt, thank God, you know, and it's not just Matt, it was, you know, Walter Timmelty and Curtis and, you know, so many different people that have helped me prepared for that day, on that day. But Matt, I think he heard me say probably 10 different versions of my maiden speech, and very, very supportive, very, very, you know, he was very honest with me, and he told me to be very honest with everybody, and that me being as honest as I can, the story would even be, my story would be even more impactful, and I thank him for that and his patience with me. Kathy Lenatra, she's, you know, another great rep from the South Shore, and she's also been, you know, her and I have been trying to work together on different issues and always, you know, kind of ping-ponging ideas off of each other, which is I think important, and her and I be, both being freshman reps is also very important. So,
and, you know, what comes with being an elected official, especially on the state level, is turnover, whether it's someone decides that they are not going to seek another term, or there's an election and there's a new face taking over for, you know, the previous elected official. We know that we got news that within a matter of a couple of weeks, Vinnie DiMaceto, a state senator, is leaving. Talk to me about that's you. That's going to be that's your first departure of your young elected career. How's that feel?
You know, Senator Vinnie DiMaceto is amazing. He, my father actually spoke very, very highly of Senator DiMaceto, and when I was sworn in and in the state house, he, you know, sought me out, introduced himself to me, and I told him, you know, my father told me to come to you for any advice, and that you are definitely somebody that I can turn to if I ever need any advice. And, you know, Vinny also spoke very, very highly of my father as well. So Vinny's just a great guy. I mean, everybody loves Vinny. You know, no matter what party you're affiliated with, no matter what chamber you're in, Vinny just has a presence about himself. He's definitely a people person. He's going to be hugely missed up at the State House, both in the Senate and in the House. And just being there in the presence, because he just has a great personality, and he's a great legislator. He's brilliant, he's smart, he's, you know, attentive to detail, and he's very much people driven. Him and I worked on a legislation for Narcan to allow police officers to have Narcan and hand out Narcan to when they do service calls, because Plymouth County has, you know, their own team that goes out after an overdose, and we filed legislation that would allow those police officers to then give those family members of someone who's struggling with a substance use disorder Narcan and show them how to administer Narcan on their loved ones. So, you know, that was one of the first pieces of legislation that I filed, and it was, you know, I'm very grateful I was able to file it as a co-sponsor with Senator DiMaceto and Senator Timolte in the state Senate, as well as Rep. Moratori. So it'll be greatly missed. It'll be interesting to see how that election goes. But, you know, I wish him well. I think he's going to do great things over at Bridgewater State.
Knowing that we've yet to close out 2019, 2020 on the horizon, have you even begun to think about the second half of the legislative session? And it's also, you know, because of the way it's set up, is you're kind of back on the campaign trail to say, hey, you know, give me another 2 years. Are you ready for the year that's ahead?
You know, I think I am. You know, you never really prepared for anything, but I do believe that my first year in the House has been definitely a learning experience, and meeting as many people as I can, both in the House and people that come up to advocate for their issues, but also within the community itself. So I've heard from plenty of constituents on their stance on certain, you know, high public issues. We're taking on some very controversial issues, and, you know, hopefully we do have a chance to vote on some of those issues. You know, we have the ROE Act in place, Safe Communities Act that's having hearings. We also have the governor's dangerousness bill that I advocated for and testified in front of the Judiciary Committee on. There's so much good legislation that's in front of us, and I just hope that in the coming months that we have the chance to vote and debate it on the House floor.
How have you felt with the constant pressure of media folks like myself? I know you appear regularly on the JV team. I know the news department is tugging at you, and I'm sure that there are other media resources out there going, Allison, we want to talk to you. What's that been like? Because it seems as though I've listened to you and watched you as you've grown, and it seems like it's second nature to you now.
Well, Kevin, you said it well, as I've grown, because I think you remember the very first time that I sat down to have an interview with you. and I was nervous Nelly. And I'm still nervous. When you talk to media, you want to make sure that you get the point that you're trying to make across and that it's accurate and concise. So you just got to think about what the issue is that they're asking about and think of how you want to respond to that. I think it's important that I speak regularly to the news reporters, whether it be the local newspaper or the local TV stations and or the community access cables. And being able to be on their shows as well with East Bridgewater, Whitman, and Abington, because I think it's important that not only do I stand for the issues that I'm standing for, but I'm listening to the community and being accessible to the community that I represent.
I can see you being the next Phantom Gourmet of the 7th Plymouth District, personally. I actually can, you know.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I could see that, too. I might have to, you know, have a few gym memberships set up, but hey.
Like an Allison Eats, you know, Allison visits a local eatery in the district, and let's stop by Brothers Roast Beef today and see what they're cooking up, you know, stuff like that.
Right. You know, I think it's important to know what's in our community, the little hidden gems that are here. I try to make it a point to try somewhere new that I haven't had, whether it be something as small as getting a cup of coffee or getting dinner. So I think it's important to continue to give back into the community that I serve.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about developing that. Well, you and I will have to have a sidebar.
It sounds good to me. You know, I already said to you, I don't mind getting out there and getting exposure for those small businesses within the 7th Plymouth District. I think it'd be great.
Excellent. All right, so we'll talk about it. Now, probably the final question I'll ask you. Again, we're speaking with Allison Sullivan, State Representative Allison Sullivan, serving the 7th Plymouth District. And if you didn't know, it's East Bridgewater. Most of East Bridgewater, Abington, yeah. And Whitman. Holidays. You get the Christmas right around the corner, or the holiday season upon us. Have you already got out there? Were you busy on Friday, or are you going to get busy doing your shopping in the next few weeks?
So I told my family that my giving is going to be back to the community.
Very nice.
I don't think they actually accepted that. No, they definitely, we do very small gifts for the family. You know, I tend to spoil my niece and nephew, so I will get out and, get them presents, but I did not go out on Black Friday. I'm not a big shopper. So I try to stay away from the busiest time of the year shopping. But my mother and my sister did actually get out.
Definitely interesting. Well, now, if folks want to get in touch with you, especially when it comes to your constituents, what is the best way for them to reach out to you or Curtis?
By email is the best way, or phone to our office. I think that's a great way of getting in contact with us. Because, you know, we get a direct right to our phone lines and the email as well. So curtis.boucher, so it's B-O-U-C-H-E-R, @mahouse.gov, and then allison.sullivan@mahouse.gov. So, you know, the two best emails to get either Curtis or I.
And it's worth noting, and I shouldn't close out this segment without you having an opportunity to talk about the family holiday party that is going to be coming up in two weeks from today at the Whitman VFW. Give a little bit of teaser on that, too.
Yeah, so we're going to have a special guest. Special guest is going to be Santa Claus. If anybody wants to come, it's going to be Monday, December 16th at 6:30 at the Whitman VFW. That's at 95 Essex Street in Whitman. We're asking for a small donation of $10 per adult or an unwrapped toy that we're going to give to the local toy drive. So I think it's important that, you know, whether or not you want to donate to the campaign or donate to the community or both, you know, we'd be happy. Come on by. We're going to have a DJ. We're going to have food, fun, some desserts, and as well an open bar. Well, cash bar, I'm sorry.
You're not going to let Miles Heger be the DJ, are you?
No, Miles Heger is not going to be the DJ, even though, you know, from what I've told is he worked at it for a DJ company. So.
Yep.
I guarantee if we got him behind the DJ booth, he might be able to spin a few tracks.
Yeah, but the thing is he's now. What kind of music do you like? Because he's more like a country music kind of a guy.
So I like all kinds of music.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really have a set station. I mean, I can't remember the last time I actually listened to the radio in my car. I think I do a lot of this in my car. So the phone's usually going over the Bluetooth, but. I do like country. I do like old school hip hop. I do like classical when depending on the day. And it just depends on what I'm doing.
So you're very, you get an
eclectic. I'm working out. I like the fast paced stuff. If I'm cleaning the house, I like the country. It just all depends.
So you're very, you get an eclectic taste, basically.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Good to know. Well, listen, we want to thank you very, very much for being one of those representatives. And in, we're very fortunate here at 95.9 WATD. We're the South Shore delegation. Loves coming on this station and talking about what's going on, whether it's something that's making the news up at the State House or something going on in the district, or just to kind of chat. So we thank you. Continued success. And we look forward to talking to you probably in the new year.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll have a good holiday if I don't see you.
You as well. Have a good holiday and Merry Christmas as well. And that's it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. We're going to step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
WATD FM Marshfield, WMEX Quincy, WBMS Brockton, and Translator W266DA Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
Hi, I'm Jim from your CBD store of Hanover. I've been a small business owner on the South Shore for 20 years. The results I've found from people in my life and from millions of other people across the country using CBD oil has led me to open your CBD store on Route 53 in Hanover. However, there's lots of misinformation about CBD. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp. Your CBD store of Hanover only sells products made from industrialized certified hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. There's absolutely no marijuana in products sold by your CBD store of Hanover. In fact, most of our products contain no THC. CBD has many targeted uses. Come visit our boutique-style store. We would love to explain how we can make it work for you. Your CBD store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD store of Hanover. Help without the high.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
At Margaret's Sewing, Upholstery, and Furniture in Brockton, they will help you with all your sewing projects, upholstery repair, and window decor. They work on both commercial and residential projects. They've been creating for over 32 years many custom upholstery and curtains. Call 508-345-4165 or visit Margaret's Sewing, Upholstery, and Furniture.com and see how they can help you.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Hi, I'm Jake Lowry, host of Mass Wealth Radio, heard every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. right here on WATD. I will be educating pre-retirees and retirees on how to retire with confidence. Mass Wealth Radio, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on 95.9 WATD, the South Shore's radio station.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, hour number two of Monday Night Talk. As I promised you, as I teased earlier, it's the hour of Murray. Can't make this stuff up. As you hear the laughter, that's Tammy Murray. Hanover is a director of community services and elder services. Mm-hmm. And she is joined by another well-known entity, not only because of her work at the Hanover, previously the Kingston Council on Aging, but she was a very...
Previous Duxbury.
Previous. The list goes on and on, but she's... Haven't you won an award? Didn't you win like a Morrow or something or an Emmy?
No.
Or what did you...
Oh, I did win an Emmy, but that was when I worked in television.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's old news.
Okay. But it's good to see both of you here. Like I said, so Tammy Murray's here. And then the second part of the hour, Murray Kidd, artistic director of the Jubilate Chorale. That's a choral group overseas. We'll speak with Murray and Jay Enos and Paul Watson to talk about the upcoming performance. But we get a surprise guest.
We do.
Like we got a call during the break, and joining us just for a couple of moments is, it's like you shake a tree and you find a state senator. And I think State Senator Mike Brady is joining us.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And hello to our friends at the Council on Aging in Hanover. I tell you, they do a great job, and that is a beautiful facility in the town of Hanover. And I enjoy attending a lot of the events there. So kudos out to not only Hanover, but all the senior centers across the Commonwealth. You know, our elderly population, they fought and died for us in World War II and the Korean War and Vietnam, and now they're becoming seniors, and it's important we take care of our seniors out there. And they do a great job, not only Hanover, but all of our COAs out there.
And it's worth noting that I believe that Hanover is in the heart of your district. Correct, Senator Brady?
That is true, and you know, I enjoy going to events there, and there's a lot of activity not only at the senior center, but we've got the Hanover Mall that's going through a redevelopment phase, and they're looking to put some housing units. But the mall, you know, like all malls of our era, when you and I were much younger, Kevin, the malls were the place where you'd go and shop, and now with competition from companies like Amazon and people buying over the internet, the malls have to be more innovative. And the Westgate Mall in Brockton went over some major renovations. I know the Braintree Mall, the South Shore Mall, you can't even get near the place. Mm. It's so busy. But the Hanover Mall has been dire need of some renovations. So there's a big proposed renovation going on there. They still need to get some grant money. They applied for some grants from the state. They didn't get this year. I know the representative from the area and myself were in support of that. But they have to be shovel ready. And some of the towns in my district were able to get some of the grants. The Hanover Mall was not, but we had a meeting with the state officials last week on that, and I think that moving forward we can reapply and hopefully get the funding to get them all developed.
Now, and is there, before we wrap up with you, is there anything that you want to say in closing, or did you want to say that you're going to attend the Hanover COA's Winterfest festivities?
Well, my schedule, as you know, is very busy. If I'm available, I attend every event I can. And some days, with my district going from Northeastern through Brockton to Hanover down to Plimpton, I have two or three events in one sitting to do at a time. So I try to make my rounds across the district. We had a great weekend locally in Brockton. We had the Christmas holiday parade. I know a lot of towns around the district had events. And then we honored Skip Graziano from the Holbrook. He went through the Holbrook Public Schools, and I know Representative Sullivan was there as well because her father was honored. Mm-hmm. And it was everyone who went through the Holbrook school system who got inducted to the Hall of Fame. We had people from the 1920s that have passed on, but their family members are there. And Skip Graziano, who's done a lot of work in Brockton and lives over the east side now, great friend to all of us, but he went through the Holbrook school system, so he got inducted to the Hall of Fame. So it was a nice event. And I was there with Rep. Dubois. Rep. Sullivan was there, of course, honoring her father and myself. And it was a packed house and a great turnout. So it's been busy weekends. But we got a lot of things still we're working on. The supplemental budget has to get done. We finalized the budget itself, but the supplemental budget, there's a lot of contracts that have to be funded, and we got to get moving on that. We passed the Student Opportunity Act, which was huge for our school districts across the Commonwealth, which was great news. But still, some other things need to get done. And the bill that we passed banning the vaping, I did have some concerns about that because they wanted to ban mentholated cigarettes. Now, I don't smoke cigarettes myself. I do a cigar maybe once a year or once every couple months if I'm at a golf course, and that's few and far between. But the sad part is the elderly population. Our veterans fought and died for our country, and they used to put the cigarette rations in their food rations, the cigarettes. But we know cigarettes are bad for you, but it should be a choice for our seniors whether they want to smoke a Newport or not. And the ban on that, I had concerns with. Plus, our business community. I heard from businesses in Whitman and Brockton and other communities that, you know, this is going to hurt their business. That you can ride, you know, a couple miles to Rhode Island and in New Hampshire or buy these products over the internet. So I think that's going to hurt the business community. But more importantly, it's the residents I represent. And everybody was in favor of banning the flavored vaping, you know, the bubblegum flavor, all that. Yep. And of course, the children are getting a hold of it. Even though you have to be over 21 to purchase those products, they're getting it through the illegal means. But to stop somebody from being able to smoke a Newport, I just couldn't support that part of the bill.
Well, I want to thank you. So if you're available next week, let's have you back on and we can have an extended conversation about that. What do you think?
I would love to, and we'll check with our schedules because I know it's been a while. And fortunately, tonight, Monday, I'm out getting prepared for the storm. I got home last night and I shoveled my own 3 grasses and helped some neighbors out, and there was only 4 inches that turned to rain. But tonight we're expecting another bad storm, even worse, and hopefully we get prepared. They did do a snow emergency in Brockton. I don't know about the rest of the towns, but I got my shovel handy in my car to help out my neighbors. And of course, you got to take care of your own home first. And all part of the life we lead in New England. I got a lot of friends who are the snowbirds who are able to get down to Florida, but even some of their flights have been changed because of the weather, you know?
Well, we appreciate you calling in, and thank you very much for sharing a quick update on the other from the Senate side of things.
Thank you very much, and I want to wish everyone a belated happy Thanksgiving. We got through that with not eating too much turkey and putting on too many calories, and now, as you mentioned earlier, we've got the Christmas holiday coming up, and it's a short window between Thanksgiving and Christmas, so I want everyone to be safe out there because traffic is atrocious, and that's another thing we have to address, and we've been talking about it with the mass transportation system, but we've got a better job of leaving in these traffic nightmares because it's all over the Commonwealth.
Right, and we can talk about that, Nat. I'd love to have you on next week.
All right, well, thank you for sneaking me in tonight, and I wish you a great night, and be safe to everyone out there.
You got it. There he is, the Senator Mike Brady joining us for a few moments. Ladies, thank you very much for your patience. We should just dive right into Winterfest. Or do we want to talk a little bit about someone who is departing?
Yeah, we could start with that. So Marilyn actually announced her retirement to me a couple of weeks ago.
No, a couple of months ago.
Well, I thought you were kidding until I got the email. But we've had a fun run, Marilyn and I.
And what's been great is any time that we've had conversations about traveling, whether it was the Kingston Council on Aging. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you during your Duxbury time. Or Hanover, Marilyn has been a key cog in that machine to provide live programming at either venue.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I have worked for Tammy the most, nearly 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you miss it here at the radio station? Because nobody knows this, but Marilyn used to work here for a while, and used to work with my Sandy and they used to it was nice because I would see the camaraderie amongst the salespeople.
Well, you know, that's true. There was a lot of camaraderie here.
There was.
But I don't miss anything anymore.
Why is that?
I think I'm in a different place. I think, you know, I'm looking forward to my new journey. I'm retiring and want to spend a lot of time with my family, my grandchildren, do some things I like to do, travel a little.
Megan and your son are going to love that.
They are going to love that. But, you know, there's so many things that I haven't been able to do because of work and deadlines. So without that, it's all wide open.
Are you going to miss her?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. And I think a lot of people that have worked with her over the period of time that we've been together miss her when she's gone too, because you don't really realize how much she actually does while she's doing it, because you might not see it. But then when it's done, I know my first year in Hanover, I wasn't getting the authors that she was getting or getting it off the ground. And it wasn't until I stole her from Kingston, which is no secret, that we really got our author series going in Hanover.
Hey, you've done a nice job. It's nice to see shared resources,
mm-hmm.
per se.
Yep.
And hearing some of the folks who locally produce and write. Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many great authors that we've had between Kingston and Hanover. And, you know, the job goes on. Anybody can try to book authors. You don't want to leave it without that, because I think the audience just loves to come and hear the authors read from their books, give a lecture. It's just terrific.
I really do wish you got Steven Tyler before you left, though.
I tried to get him.
She did.
Really?
I did, and I sent him a letter to his house, and it never got returned.
Really?
No.
See, I thought you were a little... I could see Marilyn being the type of person that if you didn't get a return correspondence in like a week... Tyler, I know you're in there somewhere.
I saw your lights on.
Don't make me track you down in Vegas.
Is that where he is?
I think they are
in Vegas.
I think they're in Vegas. I think they are, you know, a lot of acts these days. They mm-hmm. go there, and I think Donnie Marie just ended there. They went there for a couple of weeks, and it ended up being many years that they were performing.
Can you see Steve Tyler in Las Vegas for many years?
Well, only one way to find out. You're going to have to...
We're going to have to jump a plane.
Yeah.
We have a few weeks left.
Well, they still have the rock and roll roller coaster down in Disney. All that's funny is standing in line, be like, who are these guys? and they're all like younger versions of themselves. It's actually kind of funny.
It is funny.
It is. So we should just move on. Best of luck.
Thank you.
So are you going to make guest appearances over at the Hanover COA?
I doubt it. But I am going to take classes there. And I must say...
Is there a class that, like, in particular that...
Well,
You're not like a silver sneakers type of a person, mm-hmm. are you?
No, but...
That was a segue, but thanks.
Yeah. But silver sneakers is
you
wonderful.
Saw what I was trying to do there.
I did. And I could even try it. But there are fitness classes. Never have I seen more fitness classes mm-hmm. in sure. another senior center. And it's like joining a club for nothing. So yep. the most you pay sometime is $5, or you pay nothing. They're free. And I think it's wonderful, and I am going to take some of those classes.
Now, when do you officially call it a career? Is it at the end of 2019?
It is.
Okay.
On New Year's Eve.
She hasn't... Oh, is it New Year's Eve? You hadn't given me a date. Let me write that down.
All right. And you also have... You actually have a recording that confirms that, too. So she goes, yes. I never said that.
I can play it back.
You can play the podcast back. let's tease Winterfest, if we could.
Okay, yes, absolutely.
What is Winterfest?
So Winterfest started out, I think it was 3 years ago, by small business owners in the Four Corners area, which is Broadway. In Hanover. It's where, like, Mary Lou's News is, Abby Knoll Photography, I have all their names right here, Renovisions, Mr. TV. So they started to have local dance schools and performances there on an evening or the next day.
Nice.
So over the years, Mara has grown it to be so large that the town took a larger part of it, and leading that is my community services department. We've always been involved in it, and then DPW and police and fire, like, we're all pitching in to make it a successful event.
Isn't it nice?
Last year was awesome. Actually, last year at the end, it started snowing. It was kind of like a Hallmark movie, and we were all, like, in awe at how cool it was. But they have... the luminaries go up the street. The Boy Scouts do that. They have Wahlberg's food truck will be there. Mom okay. on the go. There's another one that I'm forgetting. But those will all be up at the Selman School this year, near where we'll be. with our photo booth and our DJ and second stage for the kids that dance. And there's also a beer garden at Abbey Knoll Photography.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas to any local flavor? Will we have, like, right next door, we get Stellwagen beer? Is it possible?
I believe it's Burke's.
Okay.
I believe it's Burke's Ale Works. That he does a lot of our town stuff.
Okay. Now, so can we get a date and a time for this?
Yes. It's this Friday, December 6th, from 5:30 to 8:30. The roads are actually going to close closer to 4:30 and open up shortly after 8:30. But this year, we're throwing in something. So last year, people were crossing the street all over the place. They'd park at the Santander Bank or Tractor Supply. We're actually going to have party buses from B. Everett Hall Field, sorry, which I call Sylvester School, from the bandstand. We're going to drop people off over at the shopping center, and they can go up into the Four Corners or come over near Salmon School, and then we'll return them. So the party vans are going to be running every 10 minutes.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah, we hope people take advantage. It got really scary last year with people trying to cross 53 in the dark.
So. Don't do that.
Ooh. No.
Oh. Don't do that. Take a shuttle. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't cost anything.
Nope.
And you're saying this is for 3 hours.
Yep.
Kind of the town comes together.
It really does. It's
on
really
a Friday
amazing.
Night, though, huh?
It's a Friday night. It's amazing. It really is. My first one was last year, and I'll never miss one again.
Really?
It was awesome.
Marilyn, did you do it last year too?
No, we didn't do it last year.
No, you didn't come.
No. Oh, maybe was I there?
Yeah, you. Yeah, you've been there almost 2 years.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, these are wonderful events, and I think it does bring the town together and the people together, which makes it right for the Hanover Council on Aging. That's the purpose of bringing people together, whether it's there, inside the building, whatever. And I think that's a good way to do it.
You know, it's worth noting, we talked with Marilyn, someone who you worked with at two Council on Agings. Mm-hmm. Someone that you worked with prior in Kingston is getting, they're going to be
yes.
moving on Gretchen, right?
Actually, I'm like all stuttering. I'm so excited for her. She started with me as a part-time help per diem. When I couldn't use her anymore, she was a van driver. From there, she went to assistant in the office again, full-time, and then she became my actual assistant, and then I left. And she was the interim there, but she actually started in Pembroke just this morning. So I wish her well. I think she's going to be great over there.
So she's basically similar capacity as you?
She'll be a director, yep. Yep.
And how important is that to you, and knowing that you work so well with other directors, and knowing that somebody that you've worked with, now you have, you know, this... relationship.
Yeah, it was a weird feeling at first when I got the call for the references and I went through that whole thing I just did. To know somebody from when they left retail to now being a director, it's great to watch. It's great to be a part of. I think it's more her than me, but you know, you clear the path and the right people will jog right down it.
So nice. Let's see your credit. That she succeeded. It is to your credit.
I don't know.
Well, but I mean, what do you think some of the things that she'll try to implement? Do you feel as though you have a certain style that others share in, or maybe there's stuff that you learned while you were up and coming in the Council on Aging that you know, that you've carried on a tradition that someone else had?
Yeah, we're similar. We used to call ourselves Peas and Carrots because we work so well together. She'll still call me Peas if she sees me.
Like Forrest Gump, we like Peas and Carrots.
But as much as we're the same, we're different. She's a genuine workhorse. I am a delegator. You know, we'll both jump in and do what we have to. I remember one year we jumped in and we made a boiled dinner in March, and I was up on a stool over these huge pots of corned beef, and it was like getting a corned beef facial. It was crazy.
My.
I almost dropped it on the floor. She's laughing at me. So it's that kind of stuff. She's a lot of fun. She's a great leader, and I just wish her the best. I think she's going to be awesome.
And again, knowing that she's in a neighboring
mm-hmm.
town. So
yep, and
guys-
Pembroke and Hanover work really well together anyway. We have some shared resources there already. So it's an easy, if she needs me, she can just pick up the phone.
Definitely good to know. I had teased it earlier, but it was a segue that didn't go anywhere. What exactly is Silver Sneakers?
So Silver Sneakers is an exercise program that was being offered around the state, but Blue Cross Blue Shield really picked up with it and started offering it free to different facilities. It's not just Councils on Aging. And they had offered us about a year ago 2 days a week. Shortly after they started the 2 days a week, they bumped it up to 3 days a week. So for the last year, we've had Silver Sneakers 3 days a week. The leader, I give her all the credit, although she hates to take it. She goes by Major Sarah Johnson. We actually just did an Exit 13 show together, and she's so dynamic. But I can sit in my office and hear her yelling like, 35, 36, and I go out there, and there's 40 people all over the age of 70 doing squats. And sometimes I'll try to do them in my office while I'm listening, and I can't keep up. So they all leave, like, it's weight training, it's stretching, it's amazing.
You know, it's what also is amazing, the people that go to the senior center that take these classes are in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. We have a class called Let's Get Moving. We just got a grant from the Hanover Cultural Council, and it starts in January 6th. And I know that the first class she ever had last year, she said the people wanted it to be faster, harder. She said, I'd never seen seniors this fit. It's great.
It's interesting. By the way, I'm just getting in news right now. Your show's being changed to Exit 26.
Exit 32, isn't it?
Oh, maybe,
I thought it was 32
because
it's the miles.
A federal mandate. Yeah, that's, yep. Okay. More news as we have it.
Where was the helicopter? Or the flying turkeys? Yeah, come on, right. Kevin.
My favorite WKRP in Cincinnati episode is what? God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly. In case you missed it, the Hopedale a mall has been bombed by live turkeys.
News at 11.
Basically, yeah. I don't think I did it justice the way Johnny Fever did it, but we still have a few minutes here. Mm-hmm. I apologize that we were kind of...
No, it's great.
We were joined by the senator. I didn't even know he was calling in, but it was
can I make a quick plug for OCES?
Quality Elder Services, yes.
Yep, who are trying to lose that title and just go by OCES now, because as many know, the word senior, elderly, elder, they're trying to change
Shut
that.
It.
But yeah. Anyway, they just wanted to, they're starting to do more programming that is for all ages, and it's not income restricted. So we're trying to get the word out that you might have assets and an income where 5 years ago maybe you couldn't have gotten services, and now they will get you services that will most likely, you know, be slide scale or however they want to word it. But I'm on the board, so I felt that it was important to mention that, and also that they have other programs like financial assistance to people who can't keep their checkbook anymore, and the people that they use are all Corey Sorry checked and, good, you know, legit. So if anybody has any questions about services, which I get a lot of calls about at work, to please reach out to Old Colony, because they do have so many new programs.
We teased it earlier about the author series.
Mm-hmm.
How will this series look different next year?
It depends on how it looks as of December 31st. I believe right now we have one person. I know Marilyn's been working tirelessly. The name escapes me.
It
escapes me too. It's the mystery writer.
Yeah, was it Christopher? No.
Well, he's a mystery writer.
He had a storm.
The person that's coming in March, I think,
mm-hmm,
or early April, is Christopher Castellini, and people have seen him around. He's written a book that takes place in the 40s. And there's a lot of history there and a lot of fun. And I am working on trying to get a few more, so when I leave.
And I'm working on trying to get some help.
Can't you just be a consultant? Like, you can retire, but can't you just be a consultant?
That's what I want. That's what I want.
Oh. Boy,
she's
stand corrected.
She's an overachiever.
Well, you know, I mean, I worked for Tammy. I mean, I was part of it every day. But, no, I think I'm not interested right now. Who knows?
You're going to miss it?
I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss Tammy.
No, see?
Don't make me cry.
No. what's the one thing you're going to miss about working, not only in Hanover, but miss about working with Tammy?
Well, I think Tammy and I had a certain bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's important.
You know, even when I was in Kingston, I would always run things by her. And if she didn't like it, once in a while I'd try to convince her. And then she'd yell, stop.
It was similar to a mother-daughter kind of thing, actually.
It really
Except
was.
She's not my mother and I'm not her daughter, so it's almost funny.
Okay.
But yeah. it worked really well, and we agreed on most of it. I mean, everything that's planned, we planned together. Mm-hmm. So, and actually, that's a pretty tough thing to do in environments like that. You know, she happened to be someone who could look at the big picture, the broader picture, and say, yeah, let's try it. And with that, makes your job a blessed job.
Sure.
I mean, really.
So it doesn't even work. It doesn't even work, right?
Yeah, you've seen it.
I have. Yeah. I've seen it in motion. I have.
It does. That's right. It doesn't even work. And the most, I mean, obviously, I love the author series, wherever I was. I love finding them, getting them, and it isn't something you do in one call,
no.
one letter.
No, you got to stay on them.
No, you have to stay on them.
You gotta stay on them. Yeah. And be, you know, and follow up. And a lot of people don't understand that. They figure they give up after a couple of tries. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because if they're going to do it, if they really want to do it, it happens right away. But then there are people who have to figure everything out.
I did holiday shopping, by the way.
Any holiday shopping?
Are you done holiday shopping?
No, I haven't even begun.
Have you?
No. I used to do it in July when my kids are small. Now I just wait until, I don't know, a couple weeks from now.
Well, it's all about gift cards now.
It is.
Very easy to do it.
Yeah, shopping online.
Yeah.
I want to thank you both for being here. We've been blessed to have Tammy Murray and Marilyn Greenstein here from the Hanover Council on Aging. I want to thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having
us. We'll do it again probably start of the year.
Excellent.
Chat. And best wishes. I suspect that you're not going far. That's just me.
Well, I'm not going far, but I don't know where I'm going.
Okay. Well, there you have it. All right. That's part one of the Murray Hour. I'm going to step aside. You are listening to Monday Night Talk. When we come back, talk a little about the Uvalde Corral. And meet Mr. Murray Kidd. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
For unique gift giving this holiday season, step into the Emerald Isle Shop in Whitman Center. The Emerald Isle Shop boasts over 40 styles of loom sweaters from Aran Crafts of County Kildare and McGee of Donegal for men, women, and kids. Made of soft merino wool, every stitch tells a story. From the diamond stitch wishing wealth and success to the honeycomb stitch set to bring good fortune, nothing will keep you warmer than a loomed sweater from Ireland. The Emerald Isle Shop also offers unique Irish gifts. Skelly hats, sterling silver jewelry, wool accessories, embroidered sweatshirts and jackets, rosaries, Barry's teas, and more. Shop Guinness merchandise from shirts to glassware and everything in between. At the Emerald Isle Shop, there's always something you can afford. The best prices west of Ireland. When you shop at the Emerald Isle Shop, you're shopping locally without the hassles of online shipping and returns. For quality, service, and pricing, wrap up in style at the Emerald Isle Shop, 16 South Ave, Route 27 in Whitman Center, and find them on Facebook.
Are you worried about your drinking?
Or is someone else worried about your drinking?
Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
There is no shame in living with a disease called alcoholism.
Regardless of your age, employment, or any other circumstances in your life, you deserve help from other individuals who understand what you are going through.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
It happened at the supermarket, November 20th, 1993, a Saturday. Most people do not buy duck. We are not a duck-eating people. Who thinks of duck? college quarterback Dick Wright did. On impulse, he pulled a nice frozen duck out of the freezer. But then he noticed it had the shape and the feel of a football. Cold as Green Bay, but a football. So on his way out, there's his brother by the pickup, about 35 yards. Bill gets a grip on that duck. He faints toward the end zone. His brother goes wide left, and that frozen duck had the ride of its life. That wobbling duck just flew. It smashed through the fingertips of the wide receiver and demolished the windshield of Sal Roseo's 89 Firebird. You just can't put a good spiral on a frozen duck.
I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. We come to your work or home, and we fix your windshield. Your insurance company covers it. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
My dad did a great job.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. And joining us, as they do, it seems like it's on a regular basis, the fine folks on the Jubilate Chorale. It is that time of year. They get an upcoming performance less than a week from now, next Sunday, December 8th. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about their new artistic director, Murray Kidd. And joining us to at least get the conversation started, we have Paul Watson. Paul Watson, who is a good friend and colleague, and also he admits to listening to Monday Night Talk, very open as far as critiquing or giving a little insight on the program. And he's usually the gentleman who says to me, hey, you know, we get an upcoming performance. Any chance of coming on? And I think I'm a guy who has a little bit of culture. So... And I also appreciate great performances like that you just heard. We also have Jay Enos, who is the president of the Jubilate Chorale, of the officers who are kind of overseas operations. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
And as well, we have new artistic director, Murray Kidd, who is here. We're going to talk in depth about Murray being brought on. I know the last time we had a conversation... Paul, we might have had the interim artistic director who was taking over for Maxine Aslan, Dr. Maxine Aslan, who we've had on a few times as well.
Oh, yeah. Maxine is now retired, and she is having a wonderful time in her retirement from all the rumors that we've been hearing.
Strictly rumors?
Strictly rumors, because nobody has seen her since she left, so we hear every now and then.
So I guess it's worth mentioning that it was probably an interesting task to find the future artistic director of the Jubilate Chorale. I would ask you, Jay, kind of give us the thought process looking for the next person to lead this talent.
Well, interesting is one way to put it. Daunting and frightening might have been another way to put it. The reason I say that is because several years ago... our dear Max, as we referred to her, was considering retiring. And she announced that to us, and we went on a search, a two-year search. And after about a year and a half, we were really coming up with nothing. And then on our way home on a bus ride from a concert tour in Vermont, she announced that she was going to stay on. We were jubilant. Mm-hmm. So when this occurred for real this time, I was really quite nervous, but fortunately we had several good candidates and we boiled it down to about three. And from there we boiled it down to two who were invited to come for a trial directing. And that occurred, and they were both excellent candidates, but Murray had a little something extra that we wanted.
Murray, if you'd like, give us a little bit of a background on yourself. I mean, some of the information I have here is founding conductor of the World Voices Youth Choir. You're an educator, conductor. You've worked with some great talent, including Keith Lockhart. If you will, share a little bit of your expertise and what led you to be interested in taking the helm of the Jubilate Chorale.
Well, my background is mostly in oratorio and art song. I graduated from New England Conservatory, a little shout out there. I've received a really good education there with some wonderful mentors, Daniel Pinkham, Martin Esep, Craig Smith of Emmanuel Music in Boston. And when I graduated, I started singing around Boston and taking part in some national and international tours, including some just tremendous music festivals like the Edinburgh Festival, Tanglewood, Ravinia, just some amazing experiences of making music in the world. And so as I got to the point in my singing career where I started to see the other side of the podium a little bit more, I decided that I wanted to try that out. So I had an opportunity at UMass Lowell where I was teaching and quickly became the director of choirs there and decided that I really enjoyed being the one in charge, if you will. So I took over there for about 4 years. And then my first community choir job was Polymnia Choral Society back in 2006, I believe it was. And it was just a real fun job to have. And guiding the music, choosing all the music was just a tremendous journey. I also took, as you mentioned, World Voices. I took the initiative to start a children's chorus in Brockton, and that's been a tremendous, just a very fulfilling part of my career, is to help young kids find their love for singing. In addition to World Voices, I'm also working with another group in Boston at Grace Chapel, another group of young singers in Brockton at Grace Chapel. And that's just such a fun thing to do. I've also been in the public schools a little bit, Middleborough High School, Oliver Ames High School in Easton. And currently, I am now the director of choral activities at Zavarian Brothers High School in Westwood, and that's a really exciting prospect. I've just started there in the last week, and in fact, I think that might be news to Jay and Paul because it's so new. So I'm very excited about joining that team and building up the program there.
So I would ask you, Paul, as somebody who, you know, I remember when you first came in with Maxine and her telling colorful stories about first working with you, what's it like shifting from a Maxine who kind of helped mold you, that was my understanding, or at least kind of get you acclimated to the Jubilate, to working, you know, to the introduction of Murray?
Well, every conductor has their own style of doing things, and it takes sometimes a little while to get used to him, but Murray has an energy that just kind of takes over everybody, and we all get energized at these rehearsals, and he works us hard, and we need it because we are an incorrigible crew.
You heard that, Murray, right?
I did.
You actually now have it on tape. So when they go, well, you're working us too hard, well, that's not what you said on the radio.
Well, see, the thing is, you know, sitting up the back of the room the way we basses do, we are the most incorrigible because Maxine had the hardest time of hearing us because she had 40 people in front of us. Murray doesn't miss a cue. His hearing is excellent.
Huh? What was that?
There was one rehearsal where he had us working in the groups and was coming around just to, I mean, you don't normally find a choral group working with each part in a circle singing at each other, and that was something that I think a lot of us had a little trouble getting used to, but it really worked. It was a tremendous thing because, you know, I started to hear things that I was doing that nobody else was doing. Okay. So I was able to correct myself.
Well, we're very fortunate to have another bass in the room. So I don't know if I want to just take your opinion. So maybe I should ask Jay, do you agree with what Paul said? Or in regards to, you know, Mac not being able to be heard as a bass because you're in the back of the room, and Murray's style of having you all in a circle?
When Paul said that, we have not discussed this, but that has been my same thought. Although I had asked Maxine about that one time, she said, well, the voices in the back I don't worry about. I think that she sort of glossed it over with that one.
Well, it's mostly the little side comments we make when other people are being worked on.
That's
you know,
right.
Which have been greatly reduced, I must add.
Okay.
But thank goodness.
We're happy with Murray.
but I want to go back to you, Jay. You know, you and I before, during the break, we were chatting a little bit about the process of finding the next choral director, and you kind of alluded to it being kind of a scary, you know, type of a process. But you were able to whittle it down. What was the process like to decide? Because my understanding was it was between your current artistic director, but you had someone else. You had what did you do to narrow it down and finally say yes, Mr. Kidd is the one that we want?
We had a committee, and the committee was, of course, highly efficient, and they accepted applications from all over. Of course, it had to be reasonably local, but people from western part of the state and so forth. And we, of course, initially only had phone conversations and resumes to go by. So we had to be a little arbitrary at the beginning of that, as I say, the committee had to be. It got down to three or four candidates, and one or two of them saw fit to drop out. I think maybe it was a little daunting for them. But I have to be honest in telling you that I had heard about Murray long before, and I had contacted him and said, by the way, I think you should apply to our committee. And fortunately for us, he did. And, of course, then it was up to the committee. But as I said, it came down to the two candidates, a young lady and Murray, who came on different evenings and spent the first half of the rehearsal actually conducting. And that is critical because that's really what happened with Maxine umpteen years ago when she came in and really established herself. There was someone at the glass ceiling in those days, and she really established herself. And with Murray coming in, we just realized that there was a spark there, a little liveliness, that he's not Maxine. They're different people, but he's got his own liveliness, and we appreciated it. And he really brought us along very quickly that evening to sort of grasp the piece that he was directing. And it was close, but we realized that Murray was the one.
Paul, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to have a conductor who can communicate with the group without saying a word, because that's what they have to do during performance. They have to be able to tell, you know, give all kinds of signals to the choir so they know when to enter, when to stop, when to get louder, when to get softer. When they're maybe not behaving the way they really should, it's kind of like a mime performance, you know, when you're looking at it from our perspective.
Choirs are always so well behaved. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we must have been a real shock to you then.
Well, you forget I was one at one time, so I know firsthand.
I have to interject that Maxine at one time confessed to me that she was the hellraiser when she was singing.
I can see that. She was someone who definitely had a lot of energy and a lot of zest. And I would think that you have someone who. You might be going in a slightly different direction, but you mentioned one key word, Jay, and that is spark, that Murray has that spark. When you hear somebody say that, Murray, in regards to your talent as a conductor, as someone who's directing and leading this group of folks, what goes through your mind?
Well, I guess, spark makes sense. It's always been my goal as an artist to show emotion and to exhibit passion, and that's the reason that I'm in the job that I'm in. And different conductors go about it different ways, but mine, I think my method is a little bit more I can't really compare it to other conductors because it's not really objective to do so. I see them, but I don't really feel necessarily I mean, it's like looking in the mirror at yourself. You see somebody different than people see. And so when they say spark, I can see that what they're seeing is that when I show up, I'm bringing everything that I can, and not relating that to anybody else. I just know that for myself, I'm trying to do everything I can to teach the music in from my perspective, to give the musical emphasis, the emphasis on the words, in a certain way that makes sense to me.
Now, this upcoming performance, is this going to be your first, or have you had others? So you've been spending, when did you first initially come on board, and what has it been like preparing the material and getting everybody ready for this coming Sunday's performance?
I think my first rehearsal was September 9th, which was the first, I believe, first Monday. And then we've been rehearsing weekly ever since then. And the process is, which was touched on a little bit, working in circles as each section, that was a part of it. When a lot of times choral groups, they'll sing, and myself included, when I was in this process a little bit more, it's easy to look at the page and sing and to pay attention to the notes and the rhythms. But a lot of times, even if it's a piece that's in English, if you're looking at the notes and the rhythms and it's a new piece, and then you finish going through the piece and someone says, "Hey, what's that song about?" And they have to think, I'm not sure. And they have to actually go back and look at the words, because even though they may have sung those words just then, we pay more attention to the notes and the rhythms. And so it's been my job, and it's not just U of Alate, but any group that I'm in, to have them listen in a slightly different way and to pay more attention to things that may not feel as important in the moment, because in reality, you do have to get the notes and the rhythms right for the music to come across, but the text is what takes a back seat a lot of times. And so my job is to get the notes and the rhythms down, but then to go back and really focus on what inspired the music in the first place.
So I guess I will ask you this, knowing that you've worked with so many different groups, you probably can immediately pick out the strongest parts of the group and want to let them shine, but also the ones that may need a little work, you'll find ways to sprinkle them in so at least they feel that they are a key part of a performance.
Well, sure, yeah. You quickly see what the strengths and the weaknesses are, and you try to raise the level all at once, but at the same time, you do have to try to make it even, I guess you could say. So that's a tricky part, and you try to make people feel like you try to encourage them as they make progress rather than beating them down, and I don't say this from any particular experience in the Brockton area, but myself as a choral singer for many, many years, there were conductors that did a good job putting their thumb on people, and there were some conductors that were really good at building people up, and I tried to do the latter.
That is kind of important, making sure that you build confidence in somebody so that when you need them to give their best performances, they will do so, and they'll do so with confidence and not fear.
Correct. Yes,
that's
very much
excellent.
So.
Again, we are speaking with some great folks from the U of Alate Chorale. We got Jay Enos, who is the president. We have Paul Watson, who is a member and bass and admitted listener to Monday Night Talk. And we have Murray Kitt, who is the artistic director of the U of Alate Chorale, as well as several other organizations who he also works on behalf or with. But we're here more so talking about his work with the U of Alate Chorale. If you could, Murray, kind of share with us some of the pieces that folks could anticipate for this coming Sunday. Do you want to share just a couple of nuggets?
Yes, I'll be happy to, but I'd also really love to hear Paul's and Jay's take on this. I'd say the piece that I'm most excited about, although it's all relative and everything, I'm very excited about, but the Ceremony of Carols by Benjamin Britten is a 35 or 4 or so minute piece for chorus and harp. And we have a wonderful harpist, Emily Lewis Halpern, who's going to be joining us. And the piece is one of the masterpieces in the choral canon. And it just, it was composed to 14th, 15th century texts, and I think 1/16th, that Benjamin Britten had access to on his a voyage back from the United States to Great Britain. And so he was inspired by these texts. They are common, most of them are common Christmas texts that we might have heard in different choral situations or in different Christmas settings. And he was very inspired. He was studying a harp. He was studying in order to create and to compose a harp concerto. So he was very versed in the instrument at the time and just decided to put this group of songs together, kind of inspired to do so. And it's the writing is very simplistic in a beautiful way. You hear a melody, and then the rest of the tune is based on that melody, and it doesn't really change too far from that. So you hear snippets going from different sections and different sections, and it's just inspiring to hear how this music comes alive as the pieces go by. But I'd really like to hear from Paul and Jay about this too.
Jay, we'll start with you. Give us your thoughts on this. This piece that Marty's talking about.
Well, actually, I think it probably speak for most of the people from the chorale. We think that Ceremony of Carols is the premier piece, being a long and multifaceted and multi-sectioned piece. But that, you know, speaking in antiquated or singing in antiquated English had its difficulties, but that was something we had to master. And once that has become not so much of an issue and we're enjoying the music, it has really been a process. It's been very gratifying, and it's beginning to come together very, very well. And it's the things that you thought were daunting and just a labor have become enjoyable. I think Ceremony of Carols is wonderful, and people are going to love it.
Paul?
It's one of those things. Benjamin Britten, most people know because of his choral orchestral piece, I'm sorry, The Children's Guide to the Orchestra. And he is so much more than that. He's a tremendous, tremendous composer. I have sung a couple of these songs in separate from the ceremony in years past, so I knew a little bit about it when I started singing them, but it's very interesting, like Jay said, trying to learn that language that's on the cusp of Middle English and New English, you know, around the time of Shakespeare. And it's not hard to understand what they're saying in there, but the words can be a little different, but you get a sense of it from where the music's going as to what is actually being said.
Now, my understanding, Marty had mentioned about a harpist being involved. Now, is this a nuance or something that's new in regards to an additional, would it be normally a piano or a keyboard, or would you add an instrument like a harp to a piece? What's it like to have that accompaniment to your voices, to your vocals?
Well, we have had, as a choir, we have had actually full orchestras in there for performances. So we're not foreign to singing with instruments other than a piano. And there is a rich selection of good musicians in the Brockton area to choose from. So we have had harp before at some point, haven't we?
I believe, you know, I'm trying to think back as you're talking about it, because we've had everything from single guest musician to the chamber quartets, to selected folks from Brockton Symphony to full symphony. But and I do believe we had, and I wish I could remember where the harp, but interestingly enough, when we sang with the Brockton Symphony, they too brought in a guest harpist. So that's a critical instrument and something that makes a big difference.
You should have seen how full that stage was with a full symphony orchestra and 60 voices behind it.
God bless.
Had to do that performance over at Oliver Ames High School because there wasn't enough room for all that at Christ Congregational Church in Brockton, where we normally sing.
So we just have a few minutes left. This has been a great conversation. We probably could have went for another half hour. Murray, any other teases you want to give to this performance? And we want to make sure we also let folks know, if they want to get tickets, where this performance is taking place, because they may not know. So if you want to tease any other pieces that are going to be performed?
Yeah, sure. So we have some, in the first half, we have a kind of a mixture of other songs that are related to the season. Pat a Pan, and let's see, it's beginning. Oh, I'm giving something away. So you have to show up and see. But I do want to say that since September 9th, the group has just been working very, very hard, and they sound fantastic. It's going to be a great concert to be at, so I hope to see everybody there.
So they have gelled under your leadership.
Well, we're still gelling. But they are sounding very, very good.
Well, you know, there's always room for Jell-O.
As long as you have the mold.
Yes. Jay, if folks want to find out more information, they want to get tickets, and also, where is this great performance going to be taking place?
It's at the Christ Congregational Church, which is 1350 Pleasant Street in Brockton, all the way out on Pleasant Street to the end. And you can call us at 508-427-6640, and we can arrange tickets that way. Or you can go to eTix, or you can go to jubilatesings.org, and there are several options there to allow you to get tickets.
Paul, did you want to say something?
Well, I was just, saying, it's going to be a wonderful concert. Come on out and see it. It's at 2:30 in the afternoon, so it's not a late one. And it's a great room. That church has got a great sanctuary. It's a beautiful room to listen to music in.
Any nerves involved here, knowing that you're under a different direction?
Oh, there's always nerves. First of all, the night we moved from our rehearsal hall to our first rehearsal in the church sanctuary, there's always nerves there because the sound is so different in the room.
Absolutely.
And the piano is in a slightly different spot, so things happen at a different pace than they normally happen in the room, and it takes a little bit of getting used to, but everything always seems to gel. We come together and we usually put on a really good performance.
And how does it feel, Jay, knowing that being a bass, that your director is listening to you and cares as to that you're meshed well with the other voices?
You better get it right. Because he comes and listens to you about 2.5 feet from your left ear.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
So I got to ask
and
you, Murray.
He's got the taser, too, if you're singing wrong.
So I got to ask you, Murray. Yes. You had mentioned you're going from being one of the voices to being the one guiding the voices. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself here as you're directing them, you're also singing as well, or are you just voicing the words? Are you singing out loud too?
Yeah, I have to stop myself a lot of times because I enjoy the music so much. It's easy to kind of let my voice go and I'm singing. Let's listen a little bit more.
So we actually have a selection that we're going to play in a moment. Anything that I have overlooked during our conversation, but do you want to make sure that you get out to our listeners here, especially if we want to get them out to this very first performance being guided by Murray Kidd, the Jubilate Chorale, coming up this Sunday, December 8th.
Well, just to let people know, we have the Ceremony of Carols, which is really old lyrics and stuff like that, but it goes all the way up to something very modern. And the notation in the score, when I first saw it, I said, where are we going with this? I don't see enough stuff here. It seems like there's something missing, but it all gelled together when I first heard it, and it's a really beautiful piece called Evergreen.
Yes, by Dan Pinkham, one of my teachers at the conservatory. Yeah, it's a beautiful piece.
Very nice.
And it actually is going to have a mixture of instruments. We're going to kind of throw the whole kitchen sink in. So we're using two guitars. One's played by Jay, and then there's going to be auto harp played by Jay's wife, Diane. And there's handbells and harp, like I said, and piano as well. So it's a bunch of instruments playing together in this kind of aleatoric way, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Now, would it be inappropriate to use a theater term for your upcoming performance, Break a Leg, or is that not something that's acceptable?
That's totally acceptable. Okay. All goodwill is acceptable.
Jay, anything you want to say in closing, my friend?
Yes, that's all show business, so Break a Leg is appropriate. But I think we're going to leave it there as far as the performance is concerned, because we've let you know enough, hopefully, to whet your appetite and your curiosity, and guarantee if you come, you will enjoy.
Yes, and we had a chance to meet Murray, and hopefully we're going to have Murray on many more times to talk about many more performances.
I hope so.
Excellent. Paul, you want to help set up this final piece that we're going to play?
This is a piece called And the Father Will Dance, and unlike the segment, the piece that opened the show, which is nice and smooth and mellow, this one's more of a lilt and things. It's something you can almost dance to, and that gives foil to the title, which is And the Father Will Dance. It's a beautiful piece. I love this one.
Excellent. That's going to do it for this edition of Monday Night Talk. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening. My soul.